And I really am struck by this this idea sometimes of the two Kentuckys as far as they play out in literature. And one is very pastoral and very sort of reverent about the landscape mm-hmm. and about family and about the people and the things that keep you rooted to a place. And this book really takes all, in my mind, takes all of those ideas and kind of turns them on their head. You know, we have people who are very rooted to their families, but they're tethered. You know, and they need to break free and they can't. They're not still searching for that thing that binds them. And the landscape is lushly rendered, but it's creepy in this book, I think, you know, and in this way.
There are a lot of great places to hide bodies. Who knew? But yeah, we have a great landscape for that.
Right, right. And you know, the only horses that are in the book are really like the ghostly familiars of the dead wife. Mm-hmm. You know, these are not the majestic rippling thoroughbreds, you know, galloping through the bluegrass fields. And yeah. So as a Kentucky writer, you know, do you ever struggle with or feel any sort of tension with maybe what the state kind of expects you to write versus mm-hmm. your own impulses?
Actually, I'm thrilled that you noticed this, because it was a specific conscious decision when I was writing the book that I wanted to take all as many tropes of Kentucky and the cliches of Kentucky that I could think of and turn them on their heads. Sort of with the idea of, like, I didn't write the book specifically for people in Kentucky. There's this, you know, little rebellious part of me that wants to shake my fist at all the big Northeasters and say, you know, we've got some great writers here. Take notice, and you all don't know as much about our state and culture as you probably think you do. And here, I'm going to show you. You know, it's like, these are the cliches, but they're cliches for a reason, of course, just because of our traditions. But at the same time, there's a lot more there than just that surface cliche. And so I was wanting to play with our reverence for the land, family bonds, horses. I never really managed to get in the bourbon thing. But I guess marijuana growing, you know, we're known for that too, took over that. The Kentucky Blue people, you know, have a character in there who not only suffers from that blood disease, but makes a conscious decision not to fix it because he likes the sinister air it grants him. Yeah, those were all very conscious decisions of playing with those tropes and trying to make something new and weird out of them.
So so the Kirkus Review calls this hillbilly noir as literary fiction of the first order, which I thought was interesting because Jim said that someone had said that he had heard the hillbilly noir tag applied to his book.
Oh, really?
As well. Yeah. So is this a new subgenre? Is this a subgenre that Kentucky is now trying to horn our way in on?
This is our territory, and we stake our claim.
Is it different from, like, cracker noir, like Harry Cruz? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've it's a new phrase for me, too. I mean, it's got a nice ring to it, but the only other book I could think of off the top of my hand, or author I could think of off the top of my head, would be Daniel Woodrell, who wrote Winter's Bone, that they made a movie of not too long ago. That book came out. It's a wonderful book. And it came out when I was deep into the writing of Ghosting. And I remember being so anxious and outraged because when the plot line is very, at least the basic plot line, is very close to what I was already working with in Ghosting, and that someone has disappeared and a young family member takes it, in the case of Winter Bone, takes it upon herself to find out what happened. And that's exactly, you know, the exact same idea, you know, just change the genders. And it's like the exact same idea I had going with Ghosting. And I'd never read Woodrell before, but when that book came out, I made a point of going to it and being like, oh, crap, my book's already been written, and recently at that, you know. Turns out they're not very similar at all, but there are some affinities. And I don't know if I read somewhere that book was called a hillbilly noir, or if it was later that maybe I just kind of attached it in my own mind after I saw the Kirkus Review sort of thing. But it's about the only other book or author I can think of that fits in it. I don't know. Maybe it is a new genre.